This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Prophet Lut alayhi salam, when he admonished his people and commanded them to do right, to be pious, to return back to Allah, to repent, as part of their response to him, they said, "Wa innaka la ta'lamu ma nurid." You know what we desire. You know what we want. And so you see automatically, historically here, as you're reading about what they said, their religion, their worldview, their lifestyle, what they're after is not the truth. It's after desires. The pursuit here is not one of what is correct and what is false. Rather, what do we desire? What do we want? وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. And it's very important for us to reflect deeply on the historical lessons in the Quran, so that today we are not repeating the very same mistakes of previous nations, and that we are also cautious and aware that a lot of the philosophies and ideologies around us today are a repackaging of old arguments, a repackaging. But at the very core, there are similarities. At the very core, there are consistencies. Amongst them is pride and arrogance when encountering the truth, rejecting the truth due to kibir. And that is what pride is about, to reject the truth and to look down on others. Another consistent trait we see between what they said back then and what people do today is the preference for desires over everything else. Surely we all recognize as Muslims that we have desires, we're human beings. Some desires may lead you to good and other desires are harmful for you. But when it comes to the pursuit of what is true in life, surely the pursuit of truth is always good for you. The pursuit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always good for you. And while it may seem like this passage we are just referencing the people of Prophet Lut alayhi salam, for us as Muslims, we make decisions every single day that reflect whether we prefer in the moment what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, or we are giving preference to our desires. And if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're always working. This is the journey of life. This is what jihadun nafs is about. Striving against your lower self is to choose what Allah wants, what is true, what is objectively good, over what you desire, over something that may cause you some harm. And we find that oftentimes we are saved, we are protected from a lot of the problems that people fall into when they have no religion whatsoever and they don't have a reference point. We are protected so long as we're looking at the world through the Quran. And so our short khutbah today, our reminder is about the Quranic worldview. Seeing the world through the Quran entails that you recognize that a lot of the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, these signs are sufficient. You don't need more than that for you to become a better Muslim. You don't need to see something with your eyes as a mu'jiz, as a miracle, for you to change your ways. And a lot of times what we hear and what we experience and what we see is that people refuse to move forward in their faith. They refuse to get closer to the Creator unless they see what they want to see, unless they see something on their terms. And oftentimes we may think, especially today, that seeing is everything. Seeing suffices, عين اليقين, the sight of certainty, seeing an experience that changes you. And while it may help at times propel you forward and change your life in many ways, you should not place it as a condition for you to become a better Muslim. Just like an atheist should not claim, unless I see it, I won't believe with my eyes. And you look in the Quran and you find this is not a new thing. You find examples of both believers and disbelievers who were given the opportunity to see certain things and how it affected them in different ways. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam saw the resurrection of the bird that he asked as a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, the people of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam threw him into a fire and witnessed him not being punished or burned or tortured in any form whatsoever, saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did they all then believe? No, they did not. The people of Prophet Salih alayhi salam, they said, "We want to see a miracle." And in fact, in this case, they requested the miracle on their terms. So they saw what seems to be here a camel appearing out of thin air, a miracle that you would think and I would think today, with all the people in the world claiming, I'll believe when I see, that everyone became Muslim. But you look at the example of Prophet Salih alayhi salam, not only did most of them not become Muslim, those who claimed we want this miracle, they in fact started to plot and plan and they slaughtered that camel. And so if seeing suffices to believe, and that's all your heart really needs, then everyone would have become Muslim. All of these signs would have sufficed. People were chasing Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Moses, into the Red Sea. Trapped, there's nowhere to go. And now the sea splits, and you would think all of those who are chasing after him should think twice. Clearly, this is a messenger of God. But no, that's not enough. They follow, they pursue. And of course, they drown and they die. So if seeing sufficed, everyone would become Muslim. But it's a claim. It's a claim for disbelievers, and it's a claim we make as well as Muslims when we say, if I could see this, then I would become a stronger believer. Then I would get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reality is we should not be placing these conditions on us moving forward in our faith. You do not need to see a mu'jiza other than the Quran for you to say, now I'll move forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave all of us enough signs, sufficient signs in our lives. We are all signs for one another, and everyone who departed before us of loved ones and community members, we are reminders and signs as well. Regardless of your religion, your race, your background, your gender, every single human being will depart from this world. We have so many signs, we cannot begin counting these signs. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. At the end of Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will show them our signs in the heavens, in the universe, meaning countless signs, and within themselves, until they see clearly that it is the truth, meaning that the Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But does this mean everyone will accept? No. So then you might think, well, if it's not empirical, if it's not about seeing to believe, like many atheists will claim today, then perhaps it's about reasoning and rationalism, al-aql, which in Western society, we should all know by this point, for the last 300 years or so, there's been an elevation of reasoning and rationalism to the extent that it has become a deity of sorts for many people. That it's become their methodology in life. That if it doesn't make sense to me and I cannot reason with it, then I will not accept it, I will not do it. And you find with reasoning examples in the Quran as well. On 7 different occasions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story, the historical incident of when the devil refused to obey Allah's command, refused to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, and his excuse was what? What was his reasoning? Ana khayrun min, I am better than him. Created me from fire, created him from clay. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, the great scholar, he said, not only was this obviously disobedience towards Allah and kibir and arrogance, but what you notice as well is that in terms of reasoning, this is not even true. So he suggested more than a dozen examples, proofs, that in fact clay is better than fire. So not only was there disobedience towards Allah in terms of one prostration, but it's not just about that one prostration. Not only was there disobedience and arrogance, the reasoning was faulty as well, that it's not even true. You look at the example of Qarun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much wealth. So many people today in the United States of America are tested and blessed with a lot of wealth, knowing that there are people in the same neighborhoods who are starving, knowing there are other people who don't have access to healthcare, knowing there are other people who don't have a fraction of what you have and what you waste. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and make us grateful. And yet Qarun, with all the wealth that Allah blessed him with, what was his reasoning, what was his thought? I earned this from my intellect, my ilm. And this is not true. And there were Muslims who used to look at him and say, if only we had the wealth that Qarun had. This is not unlike the Muslim today who has sufficiency in their life, but they're always on social media, always on Instagram and TikTok, looking at what other people have of mansions and palaces and faster cars and more expensive brand names and thinking, what? I wish I had what they have. Oh, if only we had that car, if only we had this and that. And this desire to have more and more and more of a dunya, looking at what other people have, never makes you happy. You will never be grateful for what you have if you're looking at those who have more than you. This is why the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to look at those who have less than us of a dunya, and those who are, look at those who are ahead of you in terms of their deen, in terms of their practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us grateful. Allahumma ameen. So if it's not empirical observation, and it's not reasoning and rationalism, al-aql, then what is it? What would suffice for us to accept the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us? It is a pure heart. It is the natural disposition, the fitrah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. When the fitrah is pure and intact, the truth is so clear to you and you accept it very quickly. As-silm, submission to Allah, becomes easy. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. A reminder for us, O believers, enter into as-silm, submission to Allah, completely, kaffa. Don't pick and choose. I'll take from Islam what works for me on my terms, and I can't do these other things. I'm not going to do that right now. I'll become religious later on. I'll wait until the end of the year, the new Hijri year, the new calendar year. I'll wait until Ramadan. I'll wait until Umrah or Hajj. What are you waiting for? You know tomorrow is not guaranteed. We all know this. Every day is the last opportunity. Every moment is a final opportunity. Live with each breath as though it's your last. Just this morning, we received news that a dear brother in Philadelphia, who was running one of the chapters of ICNA over there for a long time, and he recently launched at the very last minute a convention in the area. Had just come back from that convention, subhanAllah, about a month ago. And he passed away, rahmatullahi alayhi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him and elevate his ranks. One of the very last things that he did was he ran and facilitated an entire conference for the Muslim community. What will be our last deed in this world? Don't base everything off of your rationalism and your reasoning. Don't base everything off of a future that is not guaranteed. Many people here have plans for next week. You have plans for the end of this year. You have plans for next year as well. You have plans maybe for your children in terms of their education or anything else. You have plans. Maybe many people here have to-do lists. The Prophet ﷺ drew a line in the sand, the line of life. It's vertical. You're moving forward. You're thinking ahead. I have these things to do this week. You're thinking about what you have to do perhaps later today. Maybe you're going back to your work and you have some things you have to finish. And then the Prophet ﷺ drew a line horizontally, crossing it off, cutting it off. This line is the line of life and that's the line of death. It cuts you off from your future ambitions, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, your to-do list, and every plan that you had later that week. Completely cuts you off. I recently came back. We had a group that we were leading for Umrah, alhamdulillah. And the very last day we departed, one of the mashayikh stayed for an extra day. And as you know, when you're leaving there, one of the final things you're supposed to do in Mecca is the farewell tawaf, tawaf al-wada'. It's the very last thing you do and then you depart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all accepted hajj, accepted umrah, Allahumma ameen, as well as a trip to Masjid al-Aqsa, Allahumma ameen. And the day we left, one of the other mashayikh reached out, he sent a voice message to the 120 people in the group, and he said, as he was crying, he told us there was, in the last tawaf that he was doing, there was a crowd of people. There were basically a number of people, and there was somebody on the floor, and they started making room. He's a doctor, so they, you know, brought him forward, check on this man. He had no pulse. And long story short, the man was in ihram, wearing his clothes for ihram, doing his umrah. And he passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him. The noble act of worship, an act of worship that wipes away your sins. And Allahu A'lam if this was the man's first and last umrah. Allahu A'lam if it was his first round around the Kaaba, his first circuit, and he passed away. What will be our final deed? What will we have done that day? What prayer will you have prayed? Will you have rushed from the salah back to ad-dunya? Or taking your time with the prayer, taking your time with the family, taking your time coming to the masjid, reading Quran? What's your final deed in this world? When the heart is pure, it becomes a lot easier to move forward. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts. Allahumma aslih qulubana wa a'malana. The second thing that happens when you see the world through the Quran is it helps you with your emotions. We all have emotions as human beings. Some will experience them more than others. Some stronger than others. And oftentimes you may even think and feel that what you experience of emotions that nobody else experiences, that feeling of loneliness or a lonely journey, is in fact unique to you, but yes, everyone else has emotions as well, oftentimes not expressed. And what's interesting about this is when you see the world through the Qur'an, you realize very quickly, so long as you're connected to the Qur'an and you study it, the purpose is to reflect on it, to implement it. It is guidance. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ. Reflect on its signs and verses. What it does for your emotions is it helps you to channel them in a healthy way. It doesn't mean you don't have grief anymore or sadness when someone dies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on our loved ones. But rather what it means is you can channel that grief towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your sadness can also be an act of worship. Your sadness is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're asking Allah for healing. You're asking Allah for a reunion in Jannah with that individual. You're asking Allah for mercy for them, for forgiveness. And if you're going through a hardship and that's why you're sad, may Allah grant you relief. You're thinking about your sadness and you're making dua in a time of hardship in which you think there's no way out. And you say, "Ya Allah, I'm weak, so help me." Rather than going around in life just complaining to other people about your life, you turn to Allah and you're complaining to Him of your weakness. That, "Ya Allah, I am weak, so grant me strength." When you start to channel your emotions through the Qur'an towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you realize really quickly that in almost every single passage of the Qur'an in which there's a reference to calamity, to hardship, whether for you or for the entire ummah, the hardships that we think about every day when we see what's happening in Palestine and we see what's happening all around the world, you realize very quickly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always gives in that passage some hope, some resilience, something for you to do. Make dua, istaeenu bis-sabri was-salah, inna Allah ma'as-sabireen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something to think about, the afterlife, that there's a day of justice, these oppressors will not get away with their oppression. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Do not assume Allah is unaware of what the oppressors do. In other words, when you are constantly connected to the Qur'an, you're constantly channeling your emotions in a healthy manner towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It makes you happier. It gives you more relief. It doesn't mean you won't experience emotions. It doesn't mean you won't experience sadness. But there's no comparison between the one whose sadness is connected to Allah and the one who doesn't feel like they have anything. The one who's not connected to the Creator whatsoever. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every emotion and recognize your daily relationship with the Qur'an is a preservation of the state of your heart and as well a positive impact on your emotions, as a number of studies have found as well. Listening to the Qur'an, reading it, reflecting on it, studying its tafsir, which we all have access to today, helps you to stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a brother who came to me a number of times for, I would say for advice, but really he was just venting. And then I would give him advice and he would leave. And then one time he said, "You know what? I realize like every time I come to you, I'm kind of venting and I'm saying the same things. I'm expressing what I'm going through. I already know the things you're telling me about. But what I realize is I'm not learning anything new. What I realize is I do feel better when we talk." And what's interesting about this is, and I told him this, sometimes we don't need to learn something new for us to make progress, but we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for verily the reminder benefits the believers. What was the reminder here? You already know what you're supposed to do. You know what your life is about. You know you're supposed to turn to Allah. You know you're supposed to be praying. You know you're supposed to stay away from sins. You know what happens when you go through hardship and so on and so forth. But we need the reminders because we cut off access to those reminders. The more you cut off access to those reminders, the more likely you are to experience weeks or months in your life in which you're going through something and it becomes magnified and amplified in terms of the pain, in terms of the darkness, because you chose for yourself to have an environment in which there is no Qur'an. You chose to have an environment in which there is no ilm, there are no reminders. Rather than always playing something beneficial in the home, rather than always being on the phone with something beneficial, it's always something useless, always something of entertainment. You can spend 90 minutes watching a soccer match, a football game, or football overseas. You can watch this for an hour and a half and multiple games, not just one or two, but can't spend an hour reading Qur'an a day. We can't spend an hour a week reading Qur'an outside of salah. We really have to ask ourselves what our priorities are, because if all you're taking in mentally and emotionally are worldly things or even harmful things, then how do you expect that your heart and your mind and your emotions will be preserved? If what you're taking in is harmful, you're harming yourself. If what you're taking in is beneficial, you're preserving yourself. And I'm not saying you cannot watch something that is halal, something that is permissible, it is mubah, and it has nothing haram of elements in it. But what I'm saying is we need to be honest with ourselves and admit to ourselves that we need to have priorities and that we are actually pursuing these priorities for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, if you surround yourself with beneficial reminders, you will benefit and the people around you will benefit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the people of the Qur'an. Allahumma ameen. And the last point here is that when you see the world through the Qur'an, you realize very quickly your life always has meaning and value. When you're always connected to the Qur'an, you realize, you're always reminded that the purpose of life is to worship Allah. That when you fall short, you stand back up. That if you sinned in the last 10 years, you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and Allah will forgive. So you always realize that the journey to true success is accessible to you and no one can take it away from you. But if you don't connect to the Quran and you're seeing the world through, let's say, the lens of neoliberalism or the pursuit of just materialism and a career path, that's all you're thinking about in life, just accumulation of wealth or a relationship or children or anything else, then what starts to happen is your idea of true success is tied to these worldly things that are not guaranteed. So when these worldly things are taken away, if they are taken away, you start to feel like a part of your identity is gone, that your life has no meaning and value. And this is why some people, when they lose worldly things, they think their life has no value and they take their own lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our communities. The reality is you always have value. You always have purpose. You always have meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you, made it so clear, and it's your choice. You connect to it. You decide to make dua. So when you're always looking at the world through the Quran, you realize very quickly your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more meaning than anything of a dunya. And that comes with tranquility. That comes with a jannah that's in your heart and it's not tied to your worldly possessions. That comes with a garden that's in your heart and no one can take it away from you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts and grant us the light of the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the darknesses of this world and the hardships of this life. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate our affairs. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. He is the oft-forgiving, the ever-merciful. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Once again, the people of Prophet Lut alayhi salam said to him, "You know what we desire. Wa innaka la ta'lamu ma nurid." We make decisions every single day in which we are choosing between what Allah prefers and what our desires prefer. We're choosing between Allah's pleasure and our own worldly desires, our own hawa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and forgive us. And the more we are working towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity and humility, the more we will choose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every situation, every circumstance. And that when we fall short, that we immediately go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just saying astaghfirullah and moving on, but rather doing a lot more good deeds in that moment. As a sign of sincerity, as a sign of remorse, as a sign of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, "Ya Allah, I do want to keep chasing after your love, pursuing your love with humility, with gratitude over all else." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the light of the Qur'an, allow us to see the world through the Qur'an, and recognize that many of the injustices and oppressions and problems, whether at a societal level affecting Muslims or non-Muslims around the world, or it's a matter of injustice in your personal life, you are experiencing it yourself or within a family, recognizing that by looking at the world through the Qur'an and implementing what the Qur'an has, a lot of these injustices and oppressions immediately will be resolved, meaning the solutions are clear. You know what you're supposed to do with your family. You know you're supposed to treat your family better than you're treating strangers in the street. You know your character behind closed doors should be better than what the community sees in public. You know that your family has the greatest right upon you in terms of spending, in terms of sadaqah, in terms of nafaqah. You know that your family has the greatest right with regards to all the good that you have to offer. And with that as well, the justice that we should be pursuing all across the world, all across society, regardless of who's on the other side, that we're always standing on the side of justice. This is through the lens of the Quran. We're seeing today many people pursuing justice for different causes, but refusing to fulfill the right of Allah. So they are just when it comes to movements, when it comes to campaigns, when it comes to protest and voting and engagement in terms of politics, but when it comes to the right of Allah, completely abandoning it. Do not oppress your nafs, your soul, on the journey to fulfilling the rights of other human beings, fulfilling the rights of animals, fulfilling the rights of the environment.